Lesson 25, God's Promise to David. But my mercy shall not depart away from him. The promise which God made to David is the third and last great promise of a coming triumphant seed. The first of these great seed covenants was made in Eden and concerned the seed of the woman who would overcome sin and death, Genesis 3:15. The second was made with Abraham and concern the inheritance of the land of Israel to be gained by those in Christ. The third has to do with the throne, kingdom, and descent of God's anointed. The importance of the promises can be seen from the fact that the first verse in the New Testament links Jesus Christ with his forefathers, Abraham and David. At his birth, he was confirmed to be the seed of Abraham and David. His death, likewise, confirmed the promises made unto the fathers, Romans 15, verse 8. The promises fulfilled in Christ became the basis of the gospel preached by the apostles. Our aim will be to understand the great promise God made to David and to see how it relates to Christ and our own salvation. 2 Samuel 7. David desires to build God a house. 2 Samuel 7, verse 1 through 7. God had told Israel that when he had given them rest from their enemies, there would be a place chosen by him where he would cause his name to dwell. Deuteronomy 12, verse 10 through 11. That time was imminent. David sat in a house of cedar with his enemies at his feet. He knew that there was something incongruous in the fact that the Ark of Yahweh rested in a tent while the king dwelt in a cedar house. David felt uncomfortable. He sent for Nathan the prophet and made known his concern for the ark. Nathan replied, "Do all that is in thine heart, for Yahweh is with thee." Nathan's answer was unpremeditated and without divine sanction. That might, by revelation, God corrected Nathan's first impulsive answer to David and made known to him a greater and more beautiful house than David could have conceived. David had envisaged a house of wood and stone for God, but God revealed that he would build David a house, not of wood and stone, but of people. His would be a royal house. This was more than any man could provide. David listened, enthralled and deeply moved as Nathan repeated the words, "Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in?" Verse 5. Perhaps for the first time, David realized how great a thing he had desired to do. Can a man build a house for God? Would God dwell in it? Gently, David was led along the path of understanding. Since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, I have not dwelt in any house, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. God dwelling in a tent is a salutary exhortation and lesson. God cannot dwell with man, yet. Even Solomon perceived the inadequacy of a temple of divine design to contain God. God dwells with the humble in heart, who tremble at his word, who are a part of the house, whose foundation stone, Jesus Christ, has been laid by God. The work of God, 2 Samuel 7, verse 8 through 16. David received the unfolding message with deepening understanding. God reminded David that his ascent from the sheepcote to the throne was under his hand, and that he would further elevate him and make his name great. This whole work would be a work of God. I took thee from the sheepcote. I was with thee. I will appoint a place for my people Israel. Also Yahweh telleth thee that he will build thee a house. I will set up thy seed. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name. I will be his father. The final resting place for the name of God, the house in which he would dwell, would be built by a son of the house of David, who would be the son of God. Even the house built in the days of the kings would not be built by David, because he had shed much blood, as was later explained in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 8 through 10. Indeed, the temple would be built by his son Solomon, whose name means peace, thus foreshadowing the greater work in Messiah's reign of peace. Details of the promise. 2 Samuel 7, verse 10 through 16. There are six elements in the promise which are especially relevant to the gospel. 1. Israel to be settled in the land and at peace with all nations. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more. This has never yet been fulfilled. The prophets, however, show that these conditions shall prevail when Christ reigns over Zion. 2. The promised seed to be David's own flesh and blood, the son of man, and hence mortal. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. 3. The seed to build an house for God's name. He will build an house for my name. Two houses are referred to. 1. A literal house, the temple of Ezekiel, the wonderful house of prayer for all nations to be built in Jerusalem. And 2. A spiritual house composed of persons in Christ. 4. God, as well as David, to be his father. He would be the son of God. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. This is the crowning feature of Jesus' messiahship. By it, he was uniquely fitted to become the sinless Savior. 5. God's mercy to remain with David's seed, despite the iniquity of many of its members, who would be punished accordingly. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul. Verse 14 through 15. Compare with Psalm 89, where this portion of the promise is expounded. 6. David's throne is to be established forever before him at Christ's return, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. The restoration of the kingdom of Israel with the Christ, David's son, as king is the ruling sentiment of the prophets and the subject matter of the hope of Israel. Fulfillment of the covenant. Who is the seed of promise? From what has been said so far, it is evident that Jesus Christ is the son of David, through whom the promise will be fulfilled. However, the promise does have general reference to the descendants of David who sat on his throne, especially Solomon. Note how the terms are applied to Solomon in the following references in 1 Kings 1 through 48, 5 verse 5, 8 through 20, and 9 verse 4 through 6. The promise was conditional upon obedience. Solomon disobeyed, forfeiting the promise and was chastened with the rod of men. The following reasons also show why Solomon did not fulfill the covenant other than in a limited sense. 1. It was fulfilled in Solomon. If it was fulfilled in Solomon, there would not be further divinely inspired mention of a coming fulfillment after his death. 250 years after his death, Amos 9 verse 11, 450 years, Jeremiah 33 verse 14 through 26, 500 years, Zechariah 12 verse 6 through 8, and 1,000 years after, Luke 1 verse 32 through 33. Hence, it must refer to someone else at a much later time. The words of the angel to Mary recorded in Luke 1 show that it must refer to Jesus Christ. 2. 2 Samuel 7 verse 14 is quoted and applied to Christ in Hebrews 1 verse 5. And 3. Zedekiah was the last king to reign on David's throne. Because of his wickedness, he was rejected, and God declared the throne would be without an occupant until he come whose right it is. Ezekiel 21 verse 25 through 27. Jesus claimed this right, and Peter and Paul both declared him to be the rightful heir by a resurrection. The basic doctrine of the Davidic covenant, resurrection. There are apparent inconsistencies in the promise. These can only be explained on the basis of the resurrection. God gave the promise knowing that the resurrection would be essential for its fulfillment, just as he gave promises to Abraham, which required the resurrection. 1. The promised king was to be David's son, and hence a mortal man, and yet his throne was to be established forever. How? Through the resurrection. David worked this out and spoke accordingly in Psalm 116, verse 8 through 11. Peter and Paul both explain that this psalm teaches the resurrection of the Christ. 2. David is told that he will die or sleep with his fathers, but he is also informed that his son will reign forever before him or in his presence. The question arises, how? Besides appreciating that his seed would have to be a resurrected man, he realized that he, too, would have to be raised if he were to witness Christ's kingdom. Thou shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Psalm 71, verse 20 through 21. Sealed by divine oath. Another important feature of the promise to David is God's oath confirming it. Yahweh has sworn in truth unto David, he will turn from it. He will not turn from it. Psalm 132 through 11. Like the Abrahamic covenant, the promise to David is irrevocable and unchangeable. The effect of the promise upon David. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18 through 29. Nathan departed, his work done. David arose and walked over to the place where the ark rested, enclosed in its curtains. He sat humbly before Yahweh, transported by the wonder and grace of God's promise to him. No longer was he king in his house of cedar, seeking how he might bestow, albeit reverently, some blessing on the ark of God by bringing it to a permanent abide in Jerusalem. He went back in mind to his lowly origins and poured out his prayer. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, for thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. Verse 18 through 19. The great God had spoken to David and caused him to tremble at the grace received. He contemplated in wonder the one who would be the center of the promise and Son of God. Is this the manner of man? Or literally, the law of man? Later he realized that his son would be greater than himself, for he called him his Lord. David's son was David's Lord because he was also the Son of God. David continued and thanked and praised God for his revelation. He then spoke of the greatness of the nation of Israel redeemed by God. He prayed that the name Yahweh might be magnified through the fulfillment of the promise made to his house. His final words sought that the blessing might surely come upon his house. The lesson for us. A correct understanding of the promises to David is very important, for the gospel of the kingdom is based on the Davidic covenant. David felt that he should do something for God to enable the kingdom to be settled, but God revealed that any work for good is a work which God has already prepared. David was humbled when he realized that God had bound up his house in the eternal scheme of things. So too all who belong to families in the truth are highly privileged. God has drawn nigh to us and invited our house to participate in the throne and kingdom of David.